What's in the news today?
With so many stories.
Dozens of stories.
We're bound to miss a few.
I'm sorry, did I miss something?
It's In Case We Missed It with the Killer Bees.
And here's the stuff you missed.
How about, we didn't talk about this Monday, for obvious reasons. Hmm. There was a parade and a celebration had Monday. We didn't talk about this on Tuesday. We had plenty to get to. But Brendan and Blankers had their favorite NFL teams going toe-to-toe.
We have to
going head-to-head. Going mano a mano. Brendan was supposed to be in attendance, and Brendan decided not to go.
Well, I mean, my flight got canceled.
It got canceled Friday. The kickoff was on Sunday.
It was possible.
You're possible.
Not a real loyal fan.
Not only possible, but probable.
Yeah, I could have done it.
Yeah, easily could have done it. Anyways, he didn't go.
Should have.
But the Lions and the Packers both did the Texans a favor. Your favorite team, Blankers, your favorite team, Brendan, did my favorite NFL team a favor by having the Lions beat the Packers. So I just want to thank both of you guys for Blankers sacrificing defeat, for Brendan sacrificing the better draft pick by winning, and allowing the Houston Texans to go into this week as the number one spot in the 2023 NFL draft.
I do find myself still rooting for the Lions to win games because their regime is going to be back anyways, and I don't really want
I'm embracing the suck.
But I, part of me was like excited for one of you guys to see just how bad the Lions defense has been, because it has been historically bad.
Not against us, it wasn't.
And they embarrassed Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson
picked off Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers embarrassed. That was such a poor throw by Rodgers. The other one where he drilled a guy in the face mask and it popped up for a pick, and then he tried to separate two guys late on the goal line. He gave away 14 to 17 points by just throwing the ball in bad spots.
Joel, we've been watching these games our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
How many times has Aaron Rodgers thrown three interceptions against the Lions?
I don't know if he ever has.
That might be the first time.
Yeah. I'm embracing the suck. I hope that the general manager is fired. I texted Brendan as soon as it was over, gave him congratulations, and said that is the most embarrassing that I've ever seen my football team in the last 20 years, maybe.
What are you embracing the suck for, though? Because, like, for the Texans, you're embracing the suck for, hopefully, Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm.
What are you embracing the suck for when it comes to the Packers?
Wide receivers.
Yeah.
Help where they need it.
Do you think Rodgers is back next year?
I was checking with people back home. I had heard a couple people mention that he might not be. And they said that there is a building discussion amongst folks that he might just call it a career if this isn't his year. And it's not his year. Now, if Gutekunst gets fired, and there's a general manager that's more aggressive about win now, and they go out and get receivers this offseason, and they also will have high picks because of where they finish, maybe they convince him or he decides at least one more at that ungodly amount of money anyway,
yeah,
where he has one more chance to, you know, to prove he can still do it. And right, that's the only thing I can think of, because as bad as he looked last week, and especially with national TV coming again this week against the Cowboys, this is against McCarthy. He's got a little extra motivation. But he doesn't have any weapons to help him get the job done. He might have to have a comeback tour just to prove that he can walk out when he wants to instead of that he needs to.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers. That would look
very
interesting.
Let me just say this, too, and I've said this over and over again, because everybody knows that knows me. I can't stand him off the field. But I know how bad my football team's going to be when he walks. When he walks, no matter how good the rest of the roster is, see Broncos, see Colts, Packers are going
to
suck.
You'll be fine. You got Jordan Love. Things will be just fine.
Oh, that's not what I needed to hear.
In Green Bay. Paul Gallant, our very dear friend, our good friend, he's talked about joining the U of H men's basketball bandwagon. Number three team in the country, by the way. Welcome aboard, Paul. If you're willing to root for the Cougars and don the scarlet and white, we welcome you to join the U of H bandwagon.
A little late to the party. Blake,
you're right. But, I mean, Paul is new again to the city. Mm. Paul hasn't been to this. When did Paul return to the city of Houston, to these great airwaves?
A year and a half ago, right?
Has it been that long?
He started on the network.
Has it been that long since Paulie's been back?
I think he's been back a year and a half.
But I think this is the first time that Paul's been back on air at the start of a college basketball season.
I hit 1 year with this show tomorrow, actually.
Terrific anniversary.
You will be here.
I hope you're bringing us cake.
You're not going to be here, Jeremy.
I'm not.
But I don't think Paul was back long before I started working.
I don't
with
think
you
so
guys.
Either.
I think he's closer to a year.
I think this is his first. Like, I think he was back, but like during the tournament last year.
He was back
year,
during U of H.
But the start of the season, I think this is the first time that Paul's been back in the city at the start of the year. So we welcome Paul on the U of H bandwagon. Now, it might be hard to get tickets to a game because they've sold that bad boy out for pretty much the entire season, which really good crowd. Good job showing up to Fertitta Center on Monday. But welcome aboard to the bandwagon. Blankers has been on the bandwagon. Now he's got to work on Brendan, who is very much a bandwagon.
How are you
fan.
Not on the bandwagon, Brendan?
I mean, it's not like an active decision not to be. We don't talk about them, so it doesn't require
well, we
me.
Are this year. We talked about them
winners,
all the time this
week. You jumped
week.
On the Astros. You can jump on the Cougs.
I'm not, like, anti-jumping on them. We've spent, like, 30 minutes on them so far this year. It takes a minute for me
in
to,
the
like...
time, they just played their first game.
We've talked about U of H every day post their season opener. And we had Samson on, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, no, less than that, wasn't it?
You guys are crushing maybe. Me unfairly.
Maybe last week.
Last week.
Brendan needs to hop on the bandwagon.
I'm with you, 100%.
Yesterday, the midterm elections, we're not going to sit here and talk politics. But one thing that I've noticed, and I'm kind of curious how you guys stand, because I'm on the fence, I'll be honest with you. People who wear the I voted sticker, I'm usually of the belief.
Daryl Morey?
What do you mean?
He just put on social media all over the place big pictures of him with the I voted sticker.
Really?
Yep.
See, normally my stance in general is I'm not a big, like, look at me, look what I did kind of guy. I know these 3 hours.
You
I kind
truly
of,
are not.
These 3 hours, I'm very, like, excited and exaggerating, things like that. Off the air, I'm shy, I'm quiet, I hate attention, I hate being the center of attention. So I look at the I voted sticker as kind of symbolic to that, which I don't know how I feel about it, if I'm being completely honest. People that put on the I voted sticker for everybody to see.
So we had this discussion leading into the show because I had a couple reasons why. One, the guy took it, he didn't, normally they're supposed to just hand it to you on the piece of paper and you decide if you want to put it on or not. The dude at my polling location, I early voted, peeled it off. And basically was trying to put it on my shirt anyway. And I was like, okay. But also, my daughter has paid a lot of attention recently because of all the ads on TV and because mommy's doing the news talking about the elections, that she kept asking a lot of questions about who's running for who and who they're running against. And are you going to vote, Daddy? So then I put it on the shirt twofold because then Taylor sees it and knows I voted. And then also because the fact the dude didn't give me an option when, you know, I can't just throw it in the car and decide later if I'm going to wear it or
not. That's true.
So that's why I think it's more offensive when people say, did you vote? It's none of your damn business if I voted or who I voted for, because not everybody's as passionate about politics.
Certainly. I agree with that.
I want to ask Jeremy this, as he's on the fence about whether or not it's okay to wear it.
I think it's a little braggadocious.
Is there anything wrong with being proud of voting?
No, there's nothing wrong with being proud
of
voting.
So I don't see it as that different than just showing your pride.
It's a bit of a boast. I think if I'm trying to sell the other side of the argument and I'm on the fence here, I think it's a little bit of a boast. It's a little bit of a brag. Oh, look at me. Look what I did today.
Can it not be proud to be in a democratic society where you actually have a voice and a say so?
I think it is okay to brag about things that you're proud of. That is, I personally, like, I typically just throw away the sticker.
Yeah.
Although they did the same thing with me. They took it off
yeah.
Like, they peeled it off. But I think it's okay to brag about the things you're... As long as you're not in people's face.
If you were an Ivy Leaguer, would you just, like, have a necklace with your degree on it saying, look, I graduated from Harvard, and wear that all the time?
No, but you'd probably talk about
Plenty
it.
Many people talk about it a lot.
Sure, but that at times would come across as braggadocious.
Well, then deal with it. I think it's cool to be proud of the things that...
I do not believe your stance here. I guarantee you that there's been times whenever you have people that have talked to you about things that they've went over the top
sure.
about where you get annoyed by
sure,
them.
I just don't think a sticker... A sticker that you wear for a single... If somebody wears an I voted sticker for a week, I'm on the side of it's too much.
I've been in discussions before with people that don't believe that you voted. When you did, they ask you the question, and then it's not good enough. And the sticker is your proof.
I've never been asked if I voted before.
Oh, my God. And I used to work with people like that and have friends like that going, oh, you said you early voted. Well, you know what? If you didn't, like, you weren't able to reach into your pocket and show the sticker... And have the sticker, then it wasn't good enough for some of the people that I know. So it's also kind of like that ID card that says, yeah, I did. Here, read this and weep.
Yeah. All right. Izzy Adesanya is going to fight this weekend in UFC. He's one of my favorite dudes to watch in the UFC these days. John Jones, I don't believe, is a fighter anymore because he hasn't fought in like 14 years ever since. John Jones made the move to heavyweight, I think, 2.5-3 years ago and has not fought at heavyweight since he made the move. Izzy right now is my favorite fighter to watch in UFC, and I'm excited to see it on Saturday. His biggest challenge, I think, coming up on Saturday.
Okay. I forgot John Jones was still an active fighter.
He's not active.
I'm not a big UFC guy, but, you know, I trust your judgment.
He's not active. 713-780-ESPN, another initiative in case
we missed it?
What's up?
Jock Bond was just named the Brooklyn Nets head coach twofold. I think it's a good hire. He's been an NBA lifer that a lot of people have said is basically the next coach in waiting for a team.
Uh-huh.
But it also tells you a lot about Ime Udoka. I thought it was within 24 hours that was the done deal and he was going to be their head coach. There might have been some second thoughts. There might be some more meat on the bone on what happened in Boston. But he didn't get that gig after all.
Maybe Boston was asking too much for any sort of return.
Okay, that's another factor, but another I think theory. There might be a lot of other things. Yeah, there might be other things there.
I think those are all options. 713-780-ESPN. The narrative of you just won't win it with Justin Verlander. Why I disagree with that narrative. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Hey, guys, right now I'll tell you about Fitz Roofing. Look, Corey's not only the owner and president of the company, he's the vice president of the Houston Roofing Association. You don't get those kind of accolades unless you have the trust and the belief of the people that are your peers, that you know what you're doing and you do the job the right way. Fitz Roofing does it on a daily basis. So much so that they do free, no obligation inspections for whatever you got going on. Home repairs, roofing issues, leaky roof, new roof. Just call Fitz, 832-521-3001. They'll come to you, tell you what they could do to help you. Cost you absolutely nothing. If you want them to do the job, just book them. They'll be there every step of the way. Best ratings in the business, best warranties in the business, using the best products, starting with CertainTeed shingles. They are the go-to for anything to do with your roof and your house, even a fence in your yard. I believe in these people. You should, too. Check out the website, FITZRoofing.com. But go to them for whatever you need with that free no-obligation inspection. 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Justin Verlander's a free agent. Well, actually, he's technically not a free agent yet. He has not made a decision on his player option for next year, $25 million. You know, Justin Verlander could just kill this entire narrative and all these discussions. Hey, yeah, I want to be an Astro. I'm willing to opt in.
I was just thinking the same thing. And also, let's think, who did him a solid when he missed 2 years of baseball with the surgery and still got paid oodles of millions of dollars by the Astros?
Yeah.
Can't you do a solid in return and go, you know what? 25's enough. I'm going to Tom Brady this thing. I want you to use the money to make this team even better next year. So I'm good at 25. If I have another good year, we'll talk about it then.
Yeah, but Crane wasn't on the hook for that $66 million. Insurance company on the hook for those $66
million. Is that right?
I guarantee it. Yeah, he didn't pitch.
So
pitched in one game in that two-year contract.
All teams have all insurance on all contracts for injury?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Wow.
Like the whole Bagwell thing and like why he, like part of like his retirement was so Dre McClain could collect the back end of that contract.
Huh.
Yeah. So
okay,
there's that. Anyways, we all think that Justin Verlander's going
to opt loyalty, Jeremy.
Opt out. Look, I hope that he does it. That'd be great. That'd be a great, pleasant surprise. So people have been talking about this. I know we talked yesterday in Cross with Jake. Like, why wouldn't you bring back Justin Verlander? You just won a World Series with Justin Verlander. I believe that's surface level thinking, if I'm being completely honest. We've seen some of the different contract numbers thrown out there with Justin Verlander. I said on the air yesterday that I'd be willing to go to like 40, but I'm biting my tongue a little bit with that. I did some research on this, though, because we all think that the Astros are a playoff team with or without Justin Verlander, right?
Correct.
They went to the playoffs in 20 without Verlander, went to the ALCS, lost in 7. Went to the World Series in 2021 without Verlander, lost in 6 games to the Atlanta Braves. They also lost Lance McCullers during that span. I wanted to see the Astros' record in the playoffs in games that Justin Verlander does not start. Games that Justin Verlander does not start versus games that Justin Verlander does start. Justin Verlander's been an Astro since 2017. If you go look from 2017 through now, which is the golden era of Houston Astros baseball, 2 World Series championships, 4 World Series appearances, 6 straight ALCS appearances as well. Justin Verlander, when he starts, the Astros are 11-7. That's a 6-11 winning percentage. Good. It's really good. You'll take that in the postseason, right? When Justin Verlander does not start during that period of time, the Astros are 42-26, a 6.18 winning percentage. The Astros have been a better team in the playoffs when Justin Verlander does not start than when Justin Verlander does start.
Okay, so I was early on when we had this discussion when I thought you were maybe certifiably nuts for throwing out the idea that you might be best to move on from Justin Verlander at the end of the year. to completely come and do it in 180 because of the fact that I just witnessed a playoff where I didn't see regular season Justin Verlander, where I didn't see dominant Justin Verlander. Even when the numbers with the 11 strikeouts against the Yankees or the runs, the minimal runs allowed in his last start with the win in the World Series, it was 5 innings. He struggled to get through there. He had to get out of some pretty big jams early in games. I didn't see that kind of Justin Verlander. And at the end of the day, that's what you're playing for. Dusty, if he showed us anything else this season, he showed us the Major League Baseball version of load management and how you just get through the regular season with a chance to participate in the World Series, in the tournament, and then you bring your best foot forward in the tournament. That's what they did. That's how it worked out. Then you look at their pitching staff and the depth of the starters and go, you know what? I think they'd be a lot better suited to go elsewhere and use that money on 2 and maybe 3 other players than you would, especially if he opts out and wants more than you already paid him last year. If he can go get it and he wants to go get it and his idea is, I got to get it at this money or above that, I think there's a certain point where you just go, thanks for everything, thanks for the memories, and good luck to you.
I want to talk about that point and how far we would be willing to go in just a second, but the finances like matter because Jim Crane has always been like, he uses the competitive balance tax kind of like as a salary cap. He's went over it once. He doesn't really want to go over it. I don't think that he would. After the Mancini and the Will Smith news today, that clears up $22 million in projected payroll next year. If you go to Spotrac, they also have like the arbitration projections. So right now, the projected payroll next year for every player that's under club control is $162 million. That does not count the free agents. Doesn't count Verlander, doesn't count Brantley, doesn't count Yuli, doesn't count Montero. So that gives you a good amount of money. But if you're signing Verlander at $40 million, all of a sudden your projected payroll is at $202. You have $233. You're looking at, you know, $30-ish million to spend, which kind of eliminates you from two bats. You can probably get Verlander in one bat, but you ain't getting Verlander in two. So, like, the finances obviously matter here. Three different stories that we saw in the last couple of days that kind of project Verlander's earnings, because we had the kind of the little argument, I guess, of like what we think Justin Verlander is going to get in free agency. Scherzer makes 43.3, which is $7 million more than the next highest of Gerrit Cole. ESPN projected $72 million for 2 years, 36. The Athletic projected the high end, $135 million for 3 years, which is a $45 million average annual value. So there's the range from like three different publications. The
was low that Blum? Because if it was, he's probably way off.
No, it wasn't. It was
okay. You see what I'm saying though, because right. He's been so off on everything else.
It was the I think it was the former. Yeah, it was Jim Bowden. Jim Bowden did that, and Jim Bowden's usually pretty good at that. So like that's the range, 36 to 45. What would you be willing to go? And we can go back and forth on this. Let's start it at 30. Would you give him $30 million average annual value?
I'd be okay with that.
I would. How about 31?
Sure.
Let's go like every odd number.
Yep.
35.
That's about as high as I think I'm going.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you're lower on it than I am, and I'm the one that had this crazy thought.
Yeah, I think 35 is as high as I'm going with him for the fact that I know that I can better my team with that money, with that extra money, a lot of different ways, and I'm taking options away from myself with every million that I keep going up to get a guy that, again, for as good as he, you got to weigh it, for as good as he was in the regular season, he was almost the polar opposite in the postseason, but he got a win in the World Series. Right, he got a win against the Yankees, but he had plenty of opportunities where he could have gotten yanked because he wasn't his normal stable self. So that's a little bit too much uncertainty for me to be. There's uncertainty there, but the guarantee is $35 million. I'm not willing to make that kind of trade-off.
One of the things too, when it comes to Verlander, a lot of times people react based to the year that they just had versus what a general manager does and projects what the player is going to do.
Yuli Gurriel.
I think Yuli Gurriel, you can look at two cases
yes,
of that.
Yes, you can.
Where James Click projected after a bad 2020 that Yuli Gurriel was better than that, and he was the batting champion in the Gold Glove in 2021. People forget that James Click re-signed Yuli Gurriel after a disastrous 2020 and was the batting champion in 2021. Tip of the cap to James Click. And then he fell off and was not very good in 2022. I think it's foolish if we expect Justin Verlander at the age of 40 years old to be as healthy as he was this year. Remember, he did spend a couple of weeks on the injured list with a calf strain. He's not going to get healthier at the age of 40 than he is at the age of 39. I also think it'd be foolish if we expect Justin Verlander to pitch anywhere near to the level that he just pitched in 2022.
Yeah. And here's the thing, Jeremy. As much as we've said he's had a rubber arm and that he's just a freak of nature with the way he's been able to bounce back, it's always about like the structure of his pitching, which is his arm, his rotator cuff, all those different things. It ain't about his legs and his core and all the other things that can start breaking down. That's another reason why I just despise the Athletics offer. I'm not giving him 3 years guaranteed money at this point in his career, coming off Tommy John, with what you've seen, and especially with the injuries, the calf, coming off TJ, all the other things that he's been through. I just think it's too risky.
It is a high amount. You're willing to go up to 35.
Yeah.
I would bite my lip really, really hard and say 40. Anything over 40,
ooh,
I don't want to touch.
I can't do it. Man.
I wouldn't go more than 2 years. It would be 40 for like a year, player, club option, vesting option type of thing. But if you do sign Verlander at that price, the $40 million, you can kiss the idea of bringing in two bats. You can kiss away the idea of I want Brantley and Abreu. I asked this question to my buddies earlier. Would you rather have Justin Verlander, or would you rather, and that's all you get, Justin Verlander and maybe like a Yuli. Would you rather have that, or would you rather have Michael Brantley, Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero?
Oh, I mean, that's an easy choice for me. It's the latter.
That's what you got this offseason.
I'll tell you this, too. I actually would rather, in a lot of ways, I would rather have Rizzo than I would Abreu. And I would take Rizzo on a shorter deal that's more affordable, and I would put Rizzo at first base and give yourself a pop average, a good fielding first baseman. Not this last year he didn't, but he can hit for some average. I think he'll see better pitches in this lineup. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I don't think it's a big porch in right field for him.
No.
I think he would fit right in this lineup, in this clubhouse. His defense is really good. I think you could add him and I would love what they did in the offseason.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Does the Astros championship make it any easier to be patient with the Texans and Rockets? One thing, if you're a business owner, you can be patient about is HRMP. And the reason that you can be patient is because they'll take care of you. They'll take care of your business in more than any ways that you want them to. HRMP, Human Resources and Payroll. Business owners, let them help you. They can help in HR compliance. They can help in benefits administration. They can help in payroll, onboarding. Any of those areas or all of those areas, HRMP is ready to help. There's no boxes with HRMP. Doesn't matter how small, doesn't matter how big. HRMP completely customizes a plan for what you and your business needs. You have a problem or an issue, you want to take a little bit off your plate, a lot off your plate, the whole plate away from you, HRMP will find a way to help. They do it in a way that's unique. Technology meets service. They have the best tech. You'll love that, but you'll also love their service. Guaranteed fulfillment. You won't be talking to a stranger on a call board. You'll be talking to someone who knows you. They know your business. They know your business needs. Let HRMP help you so you can spend time on your business and growing your business. Look, I'm an employee of an employer, Gal Media, that uses HRMP. And anytime that I have a question, they're always so helpful, so quick in giving me an answer to that question. So take care of your employees as well with HRMP. Give them a call at 281-880-6525 and let HRMP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
All teams covered. No talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Back on the Bees as we continue to roll through the final half hour. Some people are true full-blown like honeybees and bumblebees and strong bees with big stingers. And others are just like pesky gnats that fly away when you wave at them. And that would be your boy Jeremy, who just waved his way by us as he got into his car and headed to the airport.
I just think it's funny. Within the first 30 seconds of today's show, he made fun of me for being a part-timer, only to take off partway through the show.
I was going to say it at the time when he actually started doing it, and then I thought, no, I'm going to see how this plays out, because at a certain point, Brendan is going to pick that one up and run with it. So you have every right to.
I think on some level it was intentional. He recognized it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But
yep.
He called me out today for it. I also, like, I think think Jeremy and I are equal. We both miss our fair share of
equal?
Days. In terms of we both miss our fair share of days.
I don't.
I know.
You say I guilt you into feeling, at least thinking about how many days you take off because I never use up portion of my vacation.
You do. You make me feel guilty because you're always here every damn day.
My wife hates it too. Like whenever my wife is like sick and she's thinking about calling in, she'll look at me and go, honey, I'm going to call in sick. And then, because she knows, she goes, I already know that you're going to say that you don't miss work and sickness is never keeps you from working. I'm like, you know, when you do NBA games, you just realize, like, I realized what a privilege it was. I never wanted to miss a game. And so, you know, I did anything in my power to make sure that I don't think I ever missed a game when I was working for the Rockets.
That's crazy.
Games. So, I guess that's kind of the way I looked at it and how I got started in that, but it is what it is. Travel safe, Jeremy. He is on his way to call the second game of the year for the Cougars. I believe it's in Annapolis. I think he's calling it something.
He did say that.
Yeah, it's one game, and then he's also got to do football this weekend too. So he's got a lot of things going on. You do these little jaunts to catch up with dad and friends and football games and
you
things.
Say it like it's a
he
bad
actually
thing.
Has a secondary income that he's rolling through.
You make it sound like it's a bad thing to visit family.
I mean, it depends on how much you love your family.
I mean, enough to go visit them.
Well, that's more than me.
I think you've been away longer, too, right? Like, I've only been down here 3 years. You've lived here how long?
30?
Yeah, so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, so, okay. All right, so we teased this before, and you're wondering what you guys think out there in the Hive. Jeremy threw it out there before he quickly departed, and that is, does the Astros championship give you a little more patience when it comes to when you want to and or expect to see the Texans and or the Rockets win? Because we were talking in the bullpen before with you being Detroit, me being with Milwaukee, Greg on our network, Philly, and Jeremy from here. And like if one of your teams wins it, does it give more of a buffer towards your expectations towards the others? I just don't think that's the case.
I think it makes it easier.
Because you felt that joy and that jubilation?
Well,
or?
So this is so arbitrary, and I don't know if other people agree with this. But in my head, if you're in a city with, I would say, 3-plus sports teams, I think your goal is like a championship every decade. You don't want to go 15, 20, 30 years without a single championship. It happens. It definitely happens. But I think the hope is that you can be winning one every 10 years or so. So when you can get one this recently, it's not that like – it's not that you enjoy watching bad football teams or you enjoy watching bad basketball teams, but when you get to see the success of one team, I do think it is easier to handle the failures of other teams.
See, like, I think that that's a free pass that the other teams don't deserve. I get it from the standpoint that, yeah, you went through the joy.
Oh, they definitely haven't
earned it. You experienced the winning, right? But, I don't think because the Astros won it, I'm going to be more forgiving if Nick Caserio gives a couple more extensions to guys that don't deserve it and then suddenly starts, you know, dealing away draft picks that are higher than sixth and seventh round picks and now we're worried about stunting the overall growth of the team to get where we want them to go. Same thing with the Rockets. I mean, if you sit on the rest of Eric Gordon's contract and aren't doing things to develop the talent that you have so that you're staying on the path of getting back to sustained winning, I don't care what the Astros did.
But so here's what I would say. If you look at the concept of embrace the suck, if you're somebody who supports the concept of embrace the suck, why do you support it? What's the basis?
Why do I embrace that?
Yes.
Because of the fact that I know that if you follow the plan – more times than not, you will have sustained success so that I will have enjoyment for an extended period of time. Instead of short-term gratification of a year or so of success and then you fall off again, if you embrace the suck and do it the right way, you can have 5 to 7 years of winning.
But ultimately, the goal is to win on a higher level, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's what you're trying to do. You're not trying to be a team that can sneak into the NFL playoffs and lose in the first round. You're not trying to be a perennial 8 seed in the NBA playoffs.
Right.
You're embracing the suck so that the team can get to a level where they're competing for championships.
You're in a position of strength being one of the favored teams to either win it all or compete for the highest level.
So I just kind of think that if you embrace that mindset, that mm-hmm. You go through the downsides to get the rewards. I think when one of your teams gets your rewards, it just makes you more patient. It shouldn't take pressure off those teams to eventually do something, but you've seen some of the rewards, and I know it's not totally the same, but like it can help. I think it can make it easier to stay patient and not want the suck to stop sooner.
Okay. See,
I'm a fan of a bunch of bad sports.
Well, we already know sports fans don't have patience, right?
No, I think some of them do.
Oh, I mean, you might. You might have to, but you didn't want to. Like, it, with all the losing you've seen the Lions do, it doesn't mean you wanted to or you were okay with it or you should have been accepting
it. I'll tell you
it.
What, though. It was a lot easier to deal with the Lions suck when the Tigers were competing for championships.
See, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you can say that, but the lines are drawn in the sand sport by sport. Like, I'm critical of each of my teams in a different way. So I'm critical of the Packers because I grew up with 20-plus years of embracing the suck. And then I luckily had two quarterbacks back-to-back that changed that narrative from being the doormat of the NFC North and, like you said, more. But you also watched them stockpile draft picks and talent, and it didn't work out. You did the same thing with the Lions. Should I be more forgiving if the Brewers won it all or the Bucks won it all?
I think where we're getting our wires mixed here is you keep saying more forgiving. I'm not saying that you should view the organization differently. I'm just saying as a sports fan, it is a lot harder to deal with hard teams, bad teams that suck, that aren't fun to watch, when you don't have any success. Now, by default, just because the Astros are constantly in this conversation, whether or not they win the Super Bowl, the World Series, whether or not they win the World Series, they probably already make it easier to handle the Texans sucking and the Rockets sucking. I just think when you reach the ultimate prize, it's even a step above that.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think that most fans are greedy, and they want to be in a Boston situation when they had the Celtics, the Red Sox, and the Patriots all at the same time. Or when the Rockets had Chris Paul and they were fighting the Warriors for a title, and the Astros were competing for a World Series, and the Texans were still good enough to be, you know, in that heyday of Texans football. A lot of people thought it was the most successful sports city in the country at that time. That's what you want. You don't want to have to sacrificial lamb your two other teams because of the fact that your baseball team won. And at the same time, I don't want to let anybody off the hook.
You would, though.
I don't think I would.
Maybe you wouldn't. I think most people would.
I'm interested if anybody has a different opinion because, like, I want my teams to be good, but I'm not going to forgive one for either playing bad or stupid moves just because the other team won it all, or I'm not going to feel better about it. Well, at least I got my baseball team. No, because I still have like 4.5 months of the year where I dedicate everything towards a football team that's peeing down their leg every week.
So the last Houston championship before the Astros in 17 was
the Rockets.
The Rockets in the 90s.
Unless you count like, you know, teams that aren't the big four or big three.
Yeah, I'm not. I could be off base here, but that's a long period of time you're going.
Oh, man, that was a hell of a drought.
I bet as you were getting to the back end of that drought, there's people who would have told you in a heartbeat that they would sacrifice the success of two of the teams to get a championship from one of them. And they might not even care which one.
Lamont would have to give you the exact details, but the funny story in that is right after the Astros won the World Series in 17, Lamont had tweeted out something to the extent of, would you be willing to sacrifice Deshaun Watson and the Texans if the Astros win the World Series? And right after they won the World Series, Deshaun blew his ACL. And we were like, oh my goodness, I think he just nailed it.
But there were probably people saying yes.
See, I don't think that it translates from one to the other. Like, I don't think that in reality, you know, a sports fan is going, hey man, I'm willing to say that this season coming up for the Rockets, if they had the team that they had when they had Chris Paul, it's going to fall way short and they might not even, you know, make it past the first round of the playoffs. But I'll take that as long as the Astros win the World Series. I don't think they think like that. They think like, hey, I'm greedy. The Astros could win the series. The Rockets could win the championship. And the Texans could make it to the conference finals.
At the end of the day, championships are championships. And that's the goal. And you sacrifice what you got to sacrifice, even if it's in other sports, to get there.
I don't think you do. All right, we've got one segment to go in the show. We're going to see what's coming up on the Wheelhouse. One of the Wheelhouse men is going to join us, and we're going to see what they have to talk about. And we're going to ask them about the situation that I heard them talking about yesterday with James Click and what they would do with Justin Verlander as we get them in here before we get out of here. It's Brendan and I. It's the key insects in the killer bees in the hive on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 FM.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Hey, back for the final segment of the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5 FM. Jeremy had to catch a flight for U of H basketball, so he bowed out a little early. We want him to travel safe and get a W for that third-ranked team in the country. Brendan, who's here sometimes and sometimes he isn't, is still with me because he is loyal to me like no other. And then, of course, BK joining us because he's my favorite wheelhouseman.
Thank you.
As it is, but even with his Ted Lasso slash Ron Burgundy mustache, I have to ask. I mean, you're a big proponent of missing time for things like religious holidays and then letting it steamroll into just whenever, however I can get time off. That's what I want.
I try to be like you, Joel. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm the marathon man here, BK. I don't miss time.
I'm trying to think. Like, since I've been here, I feel like you've only missed 2 or 3 days, like for maybe a family vacation, yeah, max.
Or an injury, or a family medical.
Something like that. Yeah. I've been here for more than a year. So you've missed 2 or 3 days more than I have because I have missed 0 days. But outside of me, I'm very impressed.
I would just like to interject as the person who approves BK's time off.
Yes.
I don't believe that statement to be true.
What statement?
That you've missed 0 days.
0 days. Ones that you are allowed to take because of religious holidays, yeah, is one thing. The others that you create for yourself and take are a different story.
Mm.
Not to mention the fact that you're always with the picketing sign out front saying, I want more World Series pregame shows because I don't want to work 4 hours.
I will take the short shows. Yes. I do not deny that. I
Texas
do appreciate
A&M basketball rules. Get them more on the air.
Dude, I'm the biggest A&M basketball fan ever. I loved their NIT run.
You feel
last
the buzz,
year,
and it's not from the Killer Bee.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I feel it from you guys, too. Okay. I'm a fan of y'all, but you guys don't give me as much short shows or as many short shows as Aggie basketball does. So, you know, in my defense, I don't know if this is really my defense, I think I've only missed 1 day for an actual vacation this year. Now, the definition of vacation is subjective, but
Brendan's
like
already taking it.
Most of my vacation days.
How many vacation days? Well, he's taken all his vacation days.
No, the only days that I've missed outside of going to the Final Four in the national championship game in New Orleans are to attend weddings out of town. So, like, those are technically vacation days, but it's not like I'm going and traveling and enjoying myself. It's like I'm going to these weddings and still enjoying myself.
And I don't miss any time either.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he does it to see family, and then of course, you know, he is the he's the new millennial that says I can't go to a game and travel on the same day without my whole calendar and internal clock being off.
Mm-hmm.
So then, and then if someone throws a voucher at me, it's more than worth my time. Forget your time; it doesn't matter. I'll take another day off.
That didn't happen. I got a voucher, but I still showed up the next day.
Begrudgingly, you showed up.
How much was that voucher for?
Well.
Mm-hmm.
So they told me $1,000, but they also ended up refunding the flight too, even though they rebooked it. So it ended up being like $1,200.
Wow.
So yeah, you made more money than your salary for the gal, and it made more sense.
Yeah. Now, do you have to use that on one flight, or can you use that on...
I only get a year, though. But that shouldn't be a problem. I fly plenty.
Yeah, with all the days
off. With all
the
days off you take, of course it's going to be more than a schedule.
Yeah, great minds think, Joel.
Can I ask a question?
Yes,
now that you've flailed it in front of the camera multiple times, were you couponing today?
Oh, is that...
What in the world? Can you see this, people? I know if you're like, you have a green thumb if you're doing gardening. He has like a black thumb. And I don't know if it's like some people that do couponing or do a lot of things with paperwork. They like keep a wet... Like,
yeah,
Band-Aid on their thumb. What's going on there?
It's for Aggie basketball, man. Just keeping my thumb up.
You're just going to gig them with the thumb up, but you've taped it like in... You're sort of protesting at the same time being a Longhorn?
That's it. No, I cut the cheese last night.
Oh, really? Did it smell?
And it was so bad that I bled out and I need a Band-Aid for my thumb.
So you were showing your culinary skills off and slipped?
That's exactly what happened.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was visiting my folks. I went down to the coast in hopes of fishing last night. And was making dinner, was talking to my old man and cutting cheese and hit the cheese.
So you literally cut the cheese.
Literally cut the cheese, missed. And yeah, it led to sounds and smells and blood, which is not what you want when you're cutting cheese, let me tell you.
Congratulations. I'm sorry for that. Hope it heals quickly. It's a really bad look.
Yeah. The black bandage is a weird one on white guy.
You guys don't argue as much as we do on the show, but if Andrew or any of the guys on the show question you having your thumb up your ass... It looks like you may have
a while back. They already know the answer to that.
All right, I heard you guys talking about this last night a little bit, but I'm curious your thoughts now that Dusty's press conference has happened. Click still seems to be waving in the wind. Jeremy and I were talking about it, and I said, look, to me it's a slap in the face to Click because of the fact that you've got a guy that did everything he could do to conceivably to make you a better team, win a World Series. And we know when coaches are in the final year of their deal, if teams don't immediately step up and try to extend them, that they're a lame duck coach, and that's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Crane being disrespectful to Click?
Agreed, 100%. I mean, what more could James Click have done over his 3 years? Now, I know he walked into a tremendous situation. You guys have talked about it. We've talked about it. Like, Jeff Luhnow deserves credit for this Astros
for sure.
run, and even though he's been gone for a few years, the majority of the players who contributed to this championship were guys brought into the organization by Luhnow. So he deserves a lot of credit, but man, Click put the finishing pieces on what I feel is the best team in Astros history. And for him to have been here for 3 years, made it to an ALCS, or three straight ALCSs, but obviously back-to-back World Series and then winning this championship, yeah, to only offer him a one-year deal feels like a slap in the face. And it's also a bad move. Like, it's a bad move for any organization to do that, but especially for an organization like this that has a window that's open right now that should be open for a while.
Yep.
Right? It's not like there's any end in sight for this Astros golden era. You shouldn't be, like, hiring guys for 1 year who might just be like, well, I'm only going to be here for a year. I don't give a damn about the next guy, so I'm going to sell the farm system and just bring in guys to try to win a championship for this year. Like, you want to go in, but you don't want to go all in to where you're mortgaging your future. And if you bring in a GM on a one-year deal, there's a chance he does that because he's looking out for himself more than the long-term betterment
of the team.
Now,
isn't it also risky, too, because he's there in Vegas. He's already making moves for you while he doesn't have an agreement, and you're assuming, if you're Jim Crane, he's going to accept the deal at some point because he wants to. He made that known he wants to stay in Houston with the article on ESPN. But at the same time, if you're not willing to go the extra mile and take care of this guy, at some point, this dude could jump off the rails too. He could start caring a little less, doing things a little bit more kind of the way, you know, flippantly because of the fact he knows he's not part of the long-term plan. I don't know that Crane is thinking this through in terms of the risk versus the reward. Of course, everybody would sign up to be the next general manager of the Houston Astros.
Yeah.
But if you got this dude still conducting business for you while he's not under contract and you're not willing to give him what he wants, that's risky too.
I think it's all pandering, Joel. I think the Astros have already made up their mind on who their next GM
for this
is going
season?
To be for this season. I don't think it's going to be James Click. Like, there was no way there was no time for them to make the announcement of the move because there was literally 0 days between the parade and when Click traveled to Vegas to be a part of these meetings. Like, there was no time for them to publicly announce that they were moving on from him. So I always felt like he was going to go to these meetings, and then at some point we'd get an announcement about the Astros parting ways with James Click. It's not like they have to fire him, right? He doesn't have a contract for right now or for next year. So I just feel like we're going to get an announcement soon
and I think
that someone else is the
that's
guy.
That's shady, too. It's also risky.
Yeah.
But I had heard that Crane was also going to be part of the travel party to go to Vegas. Now, it seems like he didn't go, and Click was the only one. Of course, Click's got to check with him on everything he does, like letting Mancini, not picking up that option, or Will Smith. But there are tougher decisions ahead. You're in the middle of all these discussions. He could be networking. Are you just saving face by saying, hey, I made him an offer. I tried to bring him back.
Yep.
He did not want to stay?
I think that's what it is. I think it's trying to win over fans in the court of public opinion, because I think most fans would like James Click to come back, right, because of the job that he's done. And I think Jim Crane is trying to be like, hey, well, it wasn't my fault he's not back. I offered him a contract, and he decided to turn it down to go somewhere else. So I hope I'm wrong, because I want Click back. But I've said this for a couple of months, and even though Click is out in Vegas right now, like, it's so weird that they had a press conference just for Dusty. Like, those guys, like,
yeah,
why would they not be
together?
I think
Crane was assuming, like he always does, being the man in charge of big business,
yeah.
Hey, I make you an offer, you accept it. That's how this works. And I don't know that Click's ever going to be in a position like he's in right now of strength where you got to believe you might have to sit a little bit, but there are other teams that want you. You got a team of World Series. Your resume is as solid as it can be. Someone's going to give you another job.
For sure. What does Click want? What is he looking for? Is he looking to win another championship? Then he should come back here without question, even if it's a one-year deal. If he's looking to be an actual GM that doesn't get undermined by the owner and the manager and doesn't get stuff done behind his back, then
see,
he should go somewhere
and
else.
And I think Click could take a page out of Daryl Morey's book. Daryl Morey knew that his owner didn't like him either,
mm-hmm.
but what he did was he was already negotiating on the side, though, you know, no, you can't, it's obviously could be considered tampering, but there's ways to do it through third parties to where Daryl had his next ticket written at a higher price tag than what he was currently being paid
mm-hmm.
and knew the minute that Tillman bought him out, it was basically like a thanks for the memories extra bonus check that he put in his back pocket. 2 weeks later, he was making more money at a different franchise. I think Click could do the same thing because to Jeremy's point, there's no jobs open now. There could be jobs open immediately if they know he's available by teams going, I've been thinking about getting rid of my GM. Why wouldn't I want this guy?
100%. It'd be a smart move. If a guy like James Click is out there, then, yeah, there are a number of teams, I think, that would move on from their current GM to bring him.
How high would you go on Verlander? I said 35. Anything over that, I'm not doing it. Jeremy said 40, which was surprising for a guy that earlier said that he would be willing to move on from Justin Verlander. I am willing to move on from Verlander, but if I'm going to bring him back, 35 is as high as I go.
Yeah, man, I'd be closer to 40, but it's one of those things where you can
obviously... give him 40.
I think I would.
And then think about what you'd have to sacrifice to get there.
Yeah, and I'm worried about the years too, man. Like, I wouldn't be stunned if there's a team that's willing to go 3, maybe even 4 years.
The Athletic said 3 at 40 some a year. ESPN said 2 at 72 or 36 average.
Yeah, I mean, I'd take that at a heartbeat, but I think JV can get more than that. I think he can get more than Scherzer, who got 43 last year.
I think that's his target. I think it's always been that way.
I think so, too.
What's coming up on the Wheelhouse?
Mike Florio at 5:30, talking all things NFL. We'll give out our NFL midseason awards and plenty of Astros conversation as well, stemming from that dusty press conference.
There you have it. Wheelhouse coming up next, taking you for the next 4 hours. We appreciate your time and expect you back tomorrow. We are on remote. Where are we at tomorrow, Brendan? We are at on the east. What's east? I can't ask you.
Are we somewhere tomorrow?
East Side 9.
East River 9?
East River 9. Yeah, the new par 3 9-hole course in Edo. So check us out there. Stop by and see us. It's going to be all the shows all day long. For Brendan and that guy that's traveling to do a U of H game, Jeremy, I'm Joel. Talk to you tomorrow on the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.